When my mom talked about menopause, she called it the change, and it was all very hush-hush, as if there was something wrong about something so natural. Thank goodness with mental health awareness and actual research, we're beginning to understand the huge role hormones play in women's bodies. Being postmenopausal has its challenges, but if you're going through either perimenopause or menopause, then I suggest you try Hormone Harmony. Why? Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about them. They help the body adapt to stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. This is SELFWORK, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At SELFWORK, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work. So, what are the questions you might ask someone else? Maybe you might say, I've realized that I'm changing the way I'm thinking about my life. Something's happened that has me wondering what I want to do now. I'm not real happy doing what I'm doing, and I want to believe there's something else out there for me. Do you ever feel that way? Welcome to this week's edition of Self-Work. Right off the bat, I want to thank my team, John Crowley and Christine Mathias, for taking the helm while I was on a work/play trip in Portugal for the past few days. When you know you're leaving something you love in someone else's good hands, then you can truly relax. And after I worked doing some filming of mental health education videos, I did just that. I relaxed. And along with my husband, we had a great week of meeting people we'd never met, seeing things we'd never seen, eating wonderful food, and drinking lovely wine, and then traveling home to get back to the work that I do truly love. And a huge part of that work, for me at least, is self-work. Today, I want to talk about purpose. Many people find purpose in their faith, whatever that faith might be, some in a political party, some in rearing a family, some in achievement of some kind, some in giving to others. One of the things I've been most grateful for in my own life has been the sense of purpose that my work has given me. I was very aware of that in the last 2 weeks as I met many new people from a different country and listened to myself talk. Do you ever do that? Kind of listen to yourself and wonder, what exactly am I saying? I wanted to share what I felt was my purpose, and I wanted to hear theirs. Just what made them tick, what makes me tick. And yet, I know that many people don't know what their sense of purpose is. If you're one of those people, I'm going to hope this episode helps you begin to find it. The mantra of self-work, after all, is what can you do about it? And so I'll offer some ways for you to begin to explore. Our listener email is from a woman from France, and her comments to me about finding my TEDx on how to recognize perfectly hidden oppression and asking me why my book wasn't published in French. First, we're going to hear from a very new sponsor of self-work, the self-hypnosis app called Reverie. Not too long ago, I interviewed Dr. David Spiegel on self-work. We delved into the transformative power of hypnosis, which is the oldest form of Western psychotherapy and a powerful evidence-based treatment for numerous disorders. I was eager to try it. I've done hypnosis, been hypnotized myself, and I'm a big believer. Self-hypnosis is clinically proven to provide immediate benefits, with an astounding 76% of Reverie members experiencing an immediate reduction in stress and anxiety. Reverie sessions are interactive and personalized, crafted by Dr. Spiegel to emulate an in-person session. I've tried these myself and experienced their effects. His therapeutic protocols induce a unique brain state that can be leveraged to improve sleep, high performance, addiction, stress, anxiety, chronic pain, and more. I've partnered with Reverie so you can also experience the power of hypnosis to combat overthinking and negative thoughts that may be holding you back. Right now, you can try Reverie free for 7 days and use code Margaret to lock in a 20% exclusive discount. Again, you can try it for free at Reverie.com for 7 days and then use the code Margaret to lock in a 20% exclusive discount. Let me hear from you. Today, we're going to talk about finding a sense of purpose. Perhaps some of you feel as if the last thing on your mind is purpose. There are bills to be paid, homework to be done. If you live through some kind of natural disaster, fires or floods, then simply putting the basics of life back in place has got to be your prime focus. I understand that not everyone's life is at a point where a sense of purpose gets much attention. Researcher and psychologist, a guy named Maslow, talked about that a lot. And if for a second you could visualize a pyramid, the most basic needs, as he would call them, would form the bottom of the pyramid, with then the next need lying on top of that one that has already been met, and they build a hierarchy and they build a pyramid. So what's on the bottom comes first. You're not going to think about purpose, for example, when you don't have enough to eat. But to make it more clear, here are the levels. On the bottom, the need is physiological, meaning food and clothing. The second level is safety. This could be anything from job security to where you live being safe, being in a non-abusive environment or culture or relationship. The third level is love and belonging needs. The fourth level, esteem, and then the fifth, self-actualization. It's interesting, Maslow's theory said that a sense of belonging preceded developing a sense of your own worth. That's kind of interesting. But then what's the last one? What's self-actualization? According to Maslow, it's the desire to become more and more what one is, to become everything that one is capable of becoming. So now we've arrived at what, to me at least, equates with finding your purpose and living your purpose. What are you capable of becoming? Now, this pyramid has been criticized a lot due to the order of these needs. Some say the hierarchy is really arbitrary and people don't necessarily pursue needs in that order. Later work acknowledged that unmet needs can motivate self-actualization. So I couldn't help but think when I read that I used to sell cosmetics at a department store, and I was on my feet constantly, like 8 to 10 hours a day. I became highly motivated to do something that would make more money and something that I want to get up and do every morning rather than help someone pick out a lipstick. That may mean a lot to some people, but not necessarily to me. Maslow's ideas were also based on biographies of notable historical figures, mostly highly educated white men. The year was 1943, so sadly his research was still based on white men and white boys, mostly Americans, coming from a highly individualistic culture, which was the United States. So all of these things are valid criticisms of his work. Other studies show, for example, that the ranking of needs varies with age. And it also doesn't attribute anything to what are called intrinsic rewards. And what does that mean? Rewards that come from within you, like if you had lost your dad and you didn't even remember him as a child, you might do something you're really proud of and then you go, I never knew my dad, but I think he'd be proud of me right now. That's something that comes intrinsically from you that is motivating, right? And it's a need. So all that makes sense. What I'd recommend you do with this info is try to make your own pyramid. What do you believe you need most? At least when we think of it as a hierarchy, it does challenge you to consider how you're living your life. And if in any way you're stuck in one of those levels, when it might be possible to experience more. So I think that's the most helpful thing about talking about this hierarchy. It's like, wait a minute, am I stuck in one level? Am I sort of settling for life at this level, but I could actually grow my potential? Now, this leads to the concept of being stuck. There are lots of ways to be stuck. You can be stuck emotionally. I don't think I'd ever have the courage to do that. So you're stuck in fear. You can be stuck mentally. Oh, I don't think I could pull that off. So you're stuck in self-doubt. You can be stuck physically. Oh, I don't have the stamina to do that. Also self-doubt. A lot of what we see on social media or movies that we stream or watch, so much of it is about challenging being stuck. Like the woman who couldn't lift 10 pounds, managing to powerlift over 100. Think about the Ted Lasso series, where a coach who knew nothing about the sport of soccer seemed to know so much about how to take a losing team and make them into a true team, make them into good people, where he defined a new purpose for every member of that team. That's what that show was about. Getting out of being stuck. Simone Biles in the Tokyo Olympic Games bowed out due to a certain kind of mental anxiety. And yet, just this year, we watched her challenge and face that anxiety while redefining her purpose in her sport. And later we watched the Paralympic Games and marveled at those people who found their purpose in not accepting what life had doled out to them. Finding purpose, not being stuck, it's so important. But how do you get there? As always, I researched this and found ideas in the Harvard Business Review, of all places. Sometimes I like to go to non-psychological sources that can be a bit more down-to-earth. So these authors listed three steps to finding purpose. And then they included several questions to ask yourself as you took the first step, then the second step, and then the third. If you want to read the article, the link will be in your show notes. Here's the first step, what's called life engagement. Now remember, this is for finding purpose. If you already have a sense of purpose or meaning in your world, this may not apply to you. But if you are seeking a sense of purpose or meaning because you haven't found it as of yet, then you've got to get out of your comfort zone emotionally, mentally, physically, and or spiritually. So here are a couple of questions they suggest asking yourself. Who or what inspires me to get out of my comfort zone and connect with the world beyond me? This could be a person. It could have been a book. It could have been a movie. It could have been, gosh, it could have been anything. And the second question is, how can I connect meaningfully with individuals and communities with different backgrounds, beliefs, and values than mine? Now, this can be kind of hard because remember, you're not just trying to expand your world. What you want to do is what they call connect meaningfully. Like try going to another church or walk in some nonprofit you've never heard of and say, what do y'all do here? And maybe I'd like to help. You want to try to look at something that you've never looked at before and connect with it. So what is it about getting out of what's familiar or what's comfortable that can lead to finding purpose? Does that make sense? Because you find out that your way isn't the only way, that what you know is not everything to know, that maybe you've never considered yourself capable of doing something because you've never seen it done. We're seeing this worldwide with women's sports right now, as little girls are seeing women who look just like them doing things that were previously only thought of or possible by men. So there's life engagement, throwing yourself into something, checking something out, exploring. Then there's their second step, self-reflection. Now, this may seem a little strange. What does self-reflection have to do with finding your purpose? Let's first hear the questions. These are questions to ask yourself that would follow you trying to do that something new, that life engagement, getting out of your comfort zone. Here are their questions. So how did this experience shape who I think I am? How did it impact my values and worldviews? Was anything challenging for me in this experience? What strengths showed up in me as I overcame this challenge? How can I make sure that others don't suffer from these same challenges? Meaning, how would you make those experiences more available to other people? Did I get any gifts from this experience? What do I want to give back? One of the first things I noticed about the questions they offered was that they're extremely positive, talking about strengths you learned you had or a generosity of spirit about what you wanted to do with this experience that would help others. Those are very positive questions. It's a positive focus on what that experience meant to you. You know, so much of a sense of purpose does have to do with a positive social or cultural impact. helping someone else out, doing for others, teaching, guiding, something that has to do with trying to create a greater good. Now, that may sound like pie in the sky to some if you've decided the world is already a horrible place and there's no way to make it better. But the point of purpose is that it is larger than life. That's the spiritual part of it. It transcends or takes you above the everyday and gives something meaning. So let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. As a psychologist, I've talked to many people with OCD about their experiences. The idea that OCD is only about hand washing and organization is a misconception. OCD is a severe and very common condition. OCD can latch onto anything, but it often focuses on the things we care about most. In an attempt to make the distress from their unwanted thoughts go away, people with OCD will often engage in repetitive physical or mental behaviors known as compulsions, which can be incredibly time-consuming and exhausting. Yet OCD is highly treatable, but it needs specialized treatment. NoCD is a virtual therapy provider for OCD that makes getting specialized therapy easier than ever. With NoCD, you can do live, face-to-face video therapy with licensed therapists who specialize in OCD. Therapists receive in-depth specialized training in exposure and response prevention, or ERP, a type of therapy that was designed specifically to treat OCD. NoCD accepts many major insurance plans and offers always-on support between sessions. If you think you might be struggling with OCD and want to learn more about therapy with NoCD, go to NoCD.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's NoCD.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. But let's talk about the value of self-reflection for a minute. Let me see if I can give an example of someone learning to self-reflect. I've had more than one, but luckily not many, person as a client who in anger will say that they know the only reason I'm sitting there with them is because I'm paid to do so. This is mostly about horrible self-esteem and even fear, which is what I believe most of the time, yet it's coming out as anger toward me. Now, the fact is that I am paid to do what I do. I can't deny that. But you can hear how defining the therapeutic relationship as only about money robs it of any higher purpose or meaning. Now, this may be meant to push me away, but it usually actually leads me to believe that we're touching on something that's scary to my client, and I need to wait and give them time. What gives our work together meaning is far more than money exchanged, but I also realize that work can be at times very scary for the client. So, what do I do with all that? I try to help them see their fear, and that it's okay to be afraid of vulnerability or whatever they're afraid of. When you begin to ask yourself these questions, when you use self-reflection to figure out the meaning of things for you, then it helps you define your purpose. Let me give you an example for that. Maybe in the next session, the client will look at me and say, you know, I don't really believe that you're in it for the money. I was just so uncomfortable and I didn't know what else to say or do. I am afraid of this work. That's self-reflection. That's someone taking my feedback to them about, wow, you're trying to make this about money, but it's actually about your fear. And I understand that. Then they chew on that for a while, and they realize, you know, there's some truth to that. They are self-reflecting. So this is what these Harvard researchers are saying is how you figure out the gifts or what you learn from a new experience. You self-reflect. So you know what you're trying to build or do or gain. And then there's one more step. It's called social feedback. You want to be able to talk with others about how they're creating purpose in their own lives. They can then learn from you and you them. So the Harvard author suggests asking things like, I'd appreciate a sounding board as I think about my future. Would you play this role for me? I am curious, what are your plans for the future? What kind of life do you want to live? What energizes you the most as you look into the future? Now, some of you may be shaking your head and saying, this is a little woo-woo. Nobody sits around and talks like this. Well, I get the discomfort a little bit. I don't think we often just jump into these conversations. In fact, usually something has happened, this quest for purpose in the first place. Maybe someone you love died, or someone was born. You got to a certain age or birthday. You changed jobs. You moved. Your best friend moved. Something creates enough change or emotion in you that you're questioning the meaning of your life. So, what are the questions you might ask someone else? Maybe you might say, I've realized that I'm changing the way I'm thinking about my life. Something's happened that has me wondering what I want to do now. I'm not real happy doing what I'm doing. And I want to believe there's something else out there for me. Do you ever feel that way? I think that language is a little more relatable. But I do think that a second suggestion they make can be very, very helpful. Now, again, it may make some of you uncomfortable, but I think when you turn to your friends to give you positive feedback, again, it takes some courage to do things in a new way, to find a new purpose, to try to craft a sense of where do I want my life to go now? So you want to get feedback and positive feedback about what your strengths are. For example, you could ask a friend, hey, you know, you've known me for a long time. What do you think are my greatest strengths? Or I wonder if you've noticed, when do I seem the most energized and excited about something? You're asking them to comment on who they see you as, who you are. This reminds me of something I actually ask clients to do. I'll ask them to ask some people that they know well to describe them with one word. Someone comes to mind immediately who struggled a lot with self-esteem, although they were very well respected in the community, but had grown up in a terribly abusive home and they'd absorbed that shame. So they asked their friends to comment, can you describe me in one noun or adjective? One word that came back, and by the way, they got like 25 different responses. One word that came back was the word phoenix. Now, what's a phoenix? That's a mythical bird that symbolizes immortality and rebirth. It's said to live for 500 years or more, and when it is ready to die, it builds a nest and sets itself on fire. And then a new phoenix rises from the ashes. That friend saw them rising above what had happened, and that was something they always told me they never forgot. But what you really want to do is to continuously engage and balance all three of these actions, life engagement, self-reflection, and then getting social feedback about your strengths, where you're having intentional conversations with people about you, and then you give that gift back to them. To make this a little more real, let me again use myself as an example. When I began self-work, I was 62 years old. I'd not listened to many podcasts. In fact, I think maybe three. But publishers were turning down my book because no one knew who I was. So I risked and I started self-work. I was petrified that I'd be thought of as too old, too southern, too white, too something. So I had to face those fears. And some people might think that. I don't know. But there are many of you who tune in to listen. But also, I had to do a lot of self-reflection. Was podcasting something I was really enjoying and growing from? Because I realized quickly that getting my name out there wasn't going to work as a motivation for me after all. If all I cared about was numbers, doing the podcast would become a chore. So after that self-reflection, I realized the real reason I was doing it. And as I say in the intro, it very quickly evolved into a desire to spread better mental health information into the world. It had been that all along, but I had to give up the part that was going to ruin it for me, where it would lose its true purpose. And as far as social feedback is concerned, not only do I have a few dear friends who give me support when I need it, but many of you also write to me to tell me what you like, what you would like more of. And I would love for you to do that at askdrmargaret@drmargaretrutherford.com. So go for your purpose. Risk getting out of that comfort zone. Then self-reflect on how that feels to you and whether or not this new experience is one that will bring purpose to your life. And three, lean on those you trust to give you feedback about your worth, and then you can give them the same. The listener email today is a simple one. She says, "Hi, Dr. Rutherford. Number one, here is the question. Why is your book, Perfectly Hidden Depression, not translated into French? Number two, it was a real pleasure to listen to you in your TEDx about Perfectly Hidden Depression. Your words tell and share the truth, and the truth gives light. Many thanks for your book you sent when I subscribed yesterday. That's the ebook you get when you subscribe to my website. I'm doing the exercises, and it's so amazing to see that it works. The brain is so amazing. And I live in France. I hope I don't write too many mistakes. I've been a psychologist for 29 years. First, I was a nurse, and I know PTSD and traumatic memory. It's not taught at university. Only psychoanalysis is." And then she gives me some books that she's read. "And thanks to YouTube this year, you've taught me also your essential and profoundly beneficial discovery. In France, depression and suicide are very badly considered, and psychologists and psychiatrists are not adequately trained about that painful moral suffering. It's really astonishing. I've already shared your video with a friend of mine who leads an association about suicide. Your words about suicidal thoughts are so necessary and need to be shared. Thanks to you, I'm now able to have words about what I feel for so many years." And then she thanks me. This kind of email is that social feedback, that social connection. And I cannot thank this listener enough, and all of you as well. You can always join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/selfwork. I would love to have you there. You can subscribe to my website just like this listener did who wrote me the email. You will get a free ebook that is about guiding you through some exercises about what your own defenses might be, about looking at yourself with some more vulnerability. It's called Knowing Your Shield. And actually, subscribing to the website is the easiest way to keep in touch with me. You get one newsletter every Monday morning. It'll give you my podcast episode, my blog post. If I've written another article or I find an article that I think would be helpful to you, I'll give it to you. And sometimes we also have some deals and steals, as they would say on television. As always, my intense gratitude for you being here. It's nice to be back home. Please take care of yourself, your loved ones, and your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.